Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Inyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Yesterday, we did a program on time and God in time, whether or not God is in time or outside of time. Coincidentally, Mike Rosen had a guest on, an atheist, who we've had on this show some time ago. In fact, he gave us a fascinating soundbite about the sun and whether the sun is a light or not. His name is Michael Shermer, and Mike Rosen had him on. What is Mike Rosen on KOA Radio? His worldview is basically atheistic, and Michael Shermer has just written a book about why you can't trust his own opinions. As far as I could tell, I'm trying to figure out the purpose of the book. But on this show, Michael is an editor of Scientific American, at least occasionally, and a founder of the Skeptic magazine, Skeptic Society. So when he came on this show, I asked him if we could at least start with some mutual ground in that the Bible, when the Bible says that the sun is a light and that it's not a god, I asked Michael Shermer, could you at least agree that on page one of the Bible, when it says that the sun is a light, that that's accurate? So at least we have some starting point. And he said, no, the sun is not a light. And so that's what it's like debating atheists. Because when much of the ancient world was worshiping the sun, moon, and stars as gods, it's significant that the Bible says that the sun is not a god, it's a light. So don't worship the sun. So we had a fight over that. Even that. So I thought it interesting that Mike Rosen had Michael Shermer on KOA, and callers were calling in and talking about whether or not God is in time, whether God is in time or outside of time this morning. And that was the topic of our radio show yesterday. So we'll try to get back to that topic. In fact, yesterday, we ran out of time with a caller from Aurora, and we will try to get him back on the show, and we'll continue with our discussion. I gave a biblical argument that God is in time, and that is the incarnation of Jesus Christ, because from before the foundations of the world, God the Son, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, God the Son was spirit, invisible. He's God, but he was not man. Then, 2,000 years ago, in the incarnation, he became the man, Jesus Christ. And the Bible teaches us that in eternity future, he will be sitting on the throne in heaven, and he is the man, Jesus Christ. So he's now eternally a man. He wasn't a man in eternity past. He's now the Son of Man. He was not the Son of Man before the world was created. He is now the Son of Man. In fact, that's his favorite title for himself because it's so astounding to him that he has become a man. So it's a neat thing to consider, and it has a lot of implications. Now, before we get to that topic, tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock, there will be a sentencing in a courtroom downtown Denver, and it is of our dear friend, Joe Scott, who is a warrior for the Lord and for the innocent, winning the souls of women who are going to an abortion clinic to kill their child. So oftentimes, leading them to the Lord and saving their babies. What an honor to have Joe Scott on the program. Joe, welcome to Bob Inyart Live.
Hi, Bob. Thanks for having me.
You're very welcome. Joe, tomorrow, I've got it right. Tomorrow at 10 o'clock, is that right?
9 o'clock.
There's a Colorado Right to Life meeting with political muckety-mucks downtown. And so after that meeting, we're going to have to hightail it, because I've been invited, we're going to have to hightail it to the courthouse. And so, Joe, are people generally invited? Could people come to provide moral support?
Yes.
All right. Tell us where the courthouse is.
On Colfax.
It's just a block west of the mint, the Denver Mint.
Right.
Where they make the coins. It's a major new courthouse there.
Yeah, the Lindsay Flanagan Building.
Lindsay Flanagan Building.
In room 302.
302. Who's the judge? Do you recall the judge's name?
Yeah, Claudia Jordan.
Claudia Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and so, Joe, you were convicted. We have the video on our website at kgov.com. There's video of you walking alongside a woman, and you guys never touched. She never flinched. You didn't cuss at her, say the vulgar things the prosecutor said that you did. And we know you didn't do these things because she was the complaining witness, and she admitted on the witness stand that you didn't do those things.
Right.
Yeah. And you can see the video from beginning to end. Where the video ends, she then is on the abortion clinic's property, and you stay out on the sidewalk.
Right.
And so you didn't touch her. You didn't hit her. She didn't flinch. You didn't
right.
cuss at her, as the prosecutor's opening statement to the jury was. And she made that clear that you did not.
Right.
But you were convicted anyway.
Right.
Joe, when I've been in your situation that you're in now, they do a pre-sentencing evaluation.
They did that.
They did that. And that is
a probation officer, and she gave in her evaluation of me, and I just saw it a few minutes ago.
You just saw it. I'd like to hear what it's like, because, Joe, the deck is stacked against Christians. That goes without saying, right? Jesus Christ was sinless, and he was found not guilty, and they sentenced him to death. I think the only time in history that a man, the accused, was found not guilty and then given a death penalty.
Right.
So we know Jesus said, if they hated me, they will hate you. And if you live godly in Christ Jesus, you shall suffer persecution. What was their analysis, their report?
The analysis was I'm unrepentant, that I am not a good candidate for probation, and that I should get jail time.
Jail time.
Yeah.
Hey, this is serious, right, Joe?
Yeah, it's real serious.
This is real serious. You know, Denver's laws, just like laws all over the country, are so convoluted and so confusing. I recall that the jury specifically made it clear that they were not convicting you for assault, for hitting the woman, anything like that. But the probation officer had a completely false account of how you were convicted.
Right. Everything was the opposite. When I went in to speak to her, it said I was convicted of hitting her and a blocking the entrance, and you know, I had to tell her I wasn't. She said, well, this is what the court says, and I said, that's not true. That's not what I was convicted of. And so she only had that information to go on while she was listening.
So she assumed that you're lying to her, because mm-hmm. many of the people she deals with, it's the gross domestic product.
Right.
They come out of our godless public schools. That's her clientele. So she assumes everybody's a liar, everybody's a criminal.
Right.
So it didn't go well.
No, it didn't go well. She even said that I had been arrested in Dublin, Ireland. I've never been to Dublin.
Dublin is nice this time of year.
Yeah, I asked for extradition.
Yeah. I think your husband was arrested in Auckland, New Zealand.
He was.
Some years back. And.
Yep.
I think I was also with him.
Were, yeah.
Yeah, but this is serious because jail time, and especially, I think especially jail time for women is much more difficult than jail time for men for various reasons.
It can be, yeah.
Yeah, it can be. Some guys it's rough on, but a lot of guys it's like going to a Baptist retreat for a week.
Yeah.
Or a month or a year or so on. So, folks, we could come on down to the Lindsay Flanagan courtroom, just right on Colfax. It's about two blocks west of the Denver City and County building.
Yeah, it's a brand new building.
Yeah, and about a block west of the Denver Mint, and mm-hmm. it's in room 302, Judge Claudia Jordan. So do you have a sense, Joe, what Judge Jordan will do?
she's going to give me jail time.
You believe so?
Yeah, my lawyer does. That's the way the whole trial has gone. She has done nothing even close to reasonable, and now she has a report from the probation officer that says, well, I think it's a good idea to give her jail time, even
right.
though it's on totally false information.
And it helps their careers when they convict pro-life Christians. It helps their careers.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
So she'll be a hero in the pro-abort.
Yeah, she'll be a hero, much like Judge Morgan Christen is a hero. Barack Obama just elevated her by nominating her to the federal judiciary, and she was an Alaska State Supreme Court justice who was chosen for the state Supreme Court by Sarah Palin.
Right.
And she's a former Planned Parenthood board member. Now, Sarah Palin says, I didn't have a choice. I either had to pick an environmentalist or a child killer. And like liberals who care more about the environment than unborn children, she didn't want to put an environmentalist on the court, so
right.
she put a child killer on the court.
That's so sad.
And I'm sure they're both pro-aborts.
Yeah.
But you don't do what is evil. You know, you don't put a Nazi on the court. Somebody wants to kill Jews, lynch blacks. If the woman was a racist, Sarah Palin would have pitched a fit because it would hurt her career to put her on the Supreme Court.
Yeah.
But she wasn't a racist. She was only a child killer. So she not only put her on the court, but praised her. So that's the problem, that the courts are against Christians and against pro-lifers, even against creationists, even though it's pro-lifers like Reagan and Bush and Sarah Palin who have put literally hundreds of judges on the bench, and they rule against us because they're godless child killers.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So Christians need to wake up. Some are waking up, but we need to continue to warn people, don't support child killers.
Right. Tomorrow, when I go to court, I'm going to have to post a bond.
All right.
Because he's going to file a motion to appeal, and the execution of the sentence should be stayed.
Mm.
Till the appeal's done, but then I'll have to file a bond. If she puts me on probation, that's another whole ball of wax.
Oh, yeah.
Happen then.
Yeah. All right. So, Joe Scott, I will make every effort to be there. We do have a meeting.
I know.
Unfortunately, but the meeting begins at 8 o'clock right downtown. So okay. We'll make every effort to get there.
I'll be good to have you there, Bob.
Yeah, we'll ask the judge to wait a little bit.
Okay. She may, but nothing ever goes off on time.
Right, sure.
Courtroom.
All right. All right, Joe. We love you, and we're praying for you.
All right.
And
love
your husband,
you too,
Ken
and
Scott.
Continue to pray, yes.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. So that's Joe Scott. Please pray for Joe, for Ken and Joe Scott. It's often harder for the spouse who's not in jail than the one who is in jail. I know that was true for Cheryl. I've been in jail for about 6 months total, and it's rough. Jail is it's time out for adults. It doesn't work. The criminals get worse, not better. It couldn't be a worse form of punishment or consequence than time out for adults. It doesn't work. It's ineffective. Okay, now, we were talking about whether or not God is inside or outside of time. We've got Nathaniel back, right? So we're going to go to Nathaniel in a moment from Aurora. We had him on at the end of the show yesterday. We ran out of time. I want to give you an example of what my debate opponent wrote in our debate. We are debating the future, whether the future is settled or open. And that revolves around another question, whether God is in time or outside of time. And I believe that the claim that God is outside of time, that was very popular in the pagan ancient Greek empire, from Plato and Aristotle and the Greek mythology, that God, Zeus, God existed outside of time. And so St. Augustine, a few hundred years after Christ, he becomes a Christian after studying Greek philosophy for many years, and he tells us that he interpreted the Bible based on Plato. So he inserted all these ideas into Christian theology, that God has no past, and God has no future, and God is without time. He's in an eternal now, never past, never future. He has no past or future. And so we point out that the Bible doesn't say anything like that at all. It just doesn't say that. It speaks of God in time, in everlasting time, in great durations of time, of God who is and who was and is to come, the Almighty, over and over and over, and of God waiting in heaven and God looking forward to the cross, then looking back to the cross. And it just goes on and on what the Bible says about God in time and time in heaven, that there's time in heaven. So my opponent in our current debate, you could find that by going to kgov.com and clicking right at the top of the homepage on the debate, is the future settled or open, with Dr. Michael Bray. And I made this argument in the debate, and he said something that shows a very common confusion. It's not easy for people to think about time, and they confuse it with measuring time. Now, time and measuring time are two different things. They're two different things. It's like anything and the measuring of that thing are two different things. Like speed and the measuring of speed are two different things. Distance and the measuring of distance, volume and the measuring of volume, these are different things. And so time, there's ways to measure time. Like we could make watches. We could make atomic clocks. Stopwatches, grandfather clocks. But if you make a clock and then you stop it, you haven't stopped time. Time doesn't stop. Now, as the Earth turns on its axis, it turns once in 24 hours. If the Earth suddenly, if God did a miracle and stopped the Earth from turning, and we'd all fall over, you know, because of inertia, but that doesn't mean that time would stop. Many people can't think through that. They think that, well, if there's night and day, then there's time. And if there's no night or day, then there's no time. But if you were in a spaceship near the sun, then there'd be no night and day. So what? Time would stand still if you were in a spaceship heading toward the sun because there's no night and day? The reality of time is not related to the rate at which the Earth spins. Every time there's an earthquake, the Earth spins quicker because the Earth gets more dense. It settles in on itself, and like a figure skater pulling in her arms when she's spinning, she spins faster. And so the Japanese earthquake that caused the tsunami, the Earth sped up on its axis and its rotation as a result of that earthquake. That's typical. That happens. Okay, now let's go to the phones in Aurora. Nathaniel, I'm glad we have you back on, sir.
Hi, my friend. God bless you, Bob.
Thank you.
Bob. Now, I'm saying, I believe, according to the Bible, that God is out of time and he's in time because he's God. And what I'm saying is, as I was asking you yesterday, is eternal, everlasting, is that time? And God's word says he's the beginning and the ending. From everlasting to everlasting, he's God.
Right.
Now, does God have the beginning? Does God have the ending? No.
You just said that God is the beginning and the ending, and
yes.
you're admitting that that is a metaphor because he doesn't have a beginning, he doesn't have an ending, right? He is everlasting.
He's eternal. So he
right.
has no beginning, no ending.
So okay? Everlasting.
So he's out of time. So he's out of time when it comes to that point.
Well, you can assert that, and you obviously believe that, Nathaniel. But you'd have to show it from Scripture. We have eternal life,
mm-hmm.
and the Bible tells us that God's kingdom will never end.
That's right.
And he will remain, and we will remain.
Yes.
And we will enjoy him and fellowship with him
yes.
forever.
Yes.
And we will be singing, holy, holy, holy.
Yes.
Now, you can't sing holy, holy, holy if there's no time. You can't get to the second word.
He is the
Well, we're talking about us now. Even if somebody believed that God is, say, immutable, impassible, omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent, well, we're not. We're not those things. So even if God were all of those things exactly, well, we are creatures. So what? We're going to be omniscient and outside of time? It's a philosophical claim that is not based on the Bible.
But you do believe that God has no beginning, no ending, right?
Yes.
Okay. Beautiful.
Yeah, but that doesn't logically flow that God is outside of time. Let me give you some examples, all right? The Bible tells us that God did many things before the foundations of the earth.
Yes.
When there's no time, you can't have a before and you can't have an after. When there's no time.
I don't know if I quite follow you.
Well, if there's no time, you can't have before and you cannot have after. The Bible speaks of God in heaven waiting for certain things to occur. It speaks of God doing things in an orderly progression. God is a logical God. And so he planned before he implemented. He planned the creation.
I believe in time. I believe in time. God created time. I believe in time.
Yeah, but the Bible never says that God created time.
Well, who now, created time? The Bible says God created everything that was
That
made.
Was created.
Right.
So let me ask you this. Did God create truth?
He is truth.
Right. So he didn't create truth. Truth is an aspect of his nature because he exists, and therefore a statement that he exists is true, and so truth is an aspect of God's nature. He didn't have to make it. It came with him.
Okay, Bob, how would you measure eternity?
With a clock with a lot of batteries.
That's going to be funny, Bob.
Well, eternity is the, what the Bible says about eternity is that it is everlasting.
Yes.
Think of the difference between lasting versus no time. You're thinking that no time means a long time. That's what you're thinking.
No, I'm
So you're
I'm
just
saying,
confused. I don't know what to do about it.
No, I'm saying no time is just that. No, it's
all right, let me ask you this. Is no time the same as lasting a lot of time? Are they the same?
No.
Okay.
No.
Now, what does the Bible say? That God is in no time or that God is in everlasting to everlasting? Which does the Bible say?
Everlasting to everlasting.
Right, so you just admitted that no time does not mean lasting time, and you admitted that the Bible says God is in lasting time.
No, ever means forever, Bob.
Ever doesn't mean no time. Ever doesn't mean no time.
Eternity.
And you know what else? The Bible says that God exists forever and ever, that he who was and he who is and is to come. He lives, he is alive forevermore.
Yes.
He lives continually. He remains forever from ancient times before he had formed the earth. God's years never end. These are all phrases right out of the Bible.
Well, why you can't admit that God is outside of time and inside of time?
Well, you're just getting goofy on
me.
There's nothing I could do, Nathaniel.
We're talking about God.
Nathaniel, the claim that God is outside of time and to God, all time is right now. God is in an eternal now. He sees every time.
No, I didn't say that. He's past, present, and future.
That's the common Christian
claim. He's past, present, and future.
The Bible has 343 series of miracles. Mm-hmm. Never once does God go backward in time.
Present
Let me tell you what our opponent
future.
Said in the debate. He reminded us that at one point God made the sundial go backward 10 degrees. And when he said that, that was just, it was so peculiar because that has nothing to do with time. God affects the rotation of the earth, but that's not related to time. They're two separate things. If God made the earth go back 6 minutes, nobody would know it because they go back 6 minutes, live forward, go back 6 minutes, live forward. It'd be like a sci-fi TV show.
And you also say that Jesus Christ is now forever a man. He's still God. He's not only a man.
Of course he's God.
He's still God.
Okay, now, let's end on that issue. Let's end on that. Does the Bible say that Jesus Christ is a man?
He's God.
Does it say he is God? You're right.
Yes.
Does it say he's the Son of Man?
Yes.
Does it say he is the man Jesus Christ?
Yes.
Does it describe him as a man starting with the incarnation?
Yes.
Right. And it says that he will sit down as a man forever at the right hand of the Father.
But he's still God, though, Bob.
Well, I know, but he was not a man in eternity past. Oh, now he is. Yeah. He was in time.
Immortal
I want to thank
man.
You, Nathaniel, for calling into the show. God bless you.